And our laugh line, that's the story I want you to share with us, too. That moment where you just laughed so hard you cried. 818-817-0021. Okay, welcome back. Let's go to our wild card line. You are on the air with us. Hello there. Good morning.
Hi there, George.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm well, thanks.
This is Carla Rhodes calling from the East Village in New York City.
Okay, Carla.
Are you familiar with vanishing twin syndrome?
Vanishing twin syndrome? No.
You guys had a guest on before. It's about twins being absorbed in the womb. Like if a mother is pregnant with twins, you know, one of the babies being absorbed.
Okay.
In the womb. And my mom was actually pregnant with twins, and I was what was left over. And I had some weird experiences with that that I thought you might be interested in.
Sure thing.
About.
So you're probably getting something from the other one, maybe. Hmm?
Yeah, I mean, it's really weird. I was informed in my teen years by my mother that, you know, I had a twin, and my father confirmed that. And when I moved to New York in my early 20s, I went to, you know, one of those little psychics. I think it was on 14th Street or something like that. And she informed me that there was this little boy following me around. And I was always very skeptical of anything like this happening. And, you know, I kind of took it with a grain of salt. Some friends and I were out one night and, you know, I'm like, ha, ha, ha. And I moved to an old tenement building, the type, you know, with the bathtub in the kitchen, really old. And every morning between, you know, 3 and 4 a.m., I noticed after about 3 months of living there, the door would kick open. It was really crazy. I checked the knob to make sure nothing was happening, and it was like this thing was in my apartment, kicking a door open. My closet door fell over on my bed. It was really strange. And I went back to the psychic, and she said, like, this is, you know, something following you, and if you cut, like, if you hold scissors in front of your belly button and cut, you know, it will leave you alone. And I did that, and no more activity after that. It was very strange.
You mean that worked?
I swear, I was so skeptical, and I've never, ever told this story. I was telling this story to a friend at dinner tonight, my friend Richard, and Richard was like, you have to call in the coast to coast and tell the story. I've never told anyone this, but it really worked. It was really crazy.
I got to remember that.
Yeah, it was very strange. So if you're a vanishing twin and you have your ghost twin following you around, cut your belly button cord and he'll leave you alone forever.
Off they go. Off they go. Yeah. Of course, in some cases, maybe people don't want them to leave, huh?
Right. Well, I was glad. I mean, literally, like, this door was kicking open over and over again. It's the only experience I've ever had with anything paranormal in my whole life.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. Let's go to our laugh line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, Mr. Noyes.
JC.
That I finally got through to you.
Calling on the laugh line.
Excuse me?
Are you going to give us your gut-wrenching laugh?
No, I'm not laughing about anything. In fact, this could very well be the last call you get from me. I'm very close to my deathbed, I think.
What's wrong with you?
Well, as you know, last week I went to your home city, Las Vegas, to protest against the porno show that was out there.
Well, that's not my home city. My home city is St. Louis and Detroit, Jason.
Yeah, well, listen, we all know where monsters hang out, and that's Las Vegas. And you're trying to get me off my topic.
I'm sorry.
Which is the pornographization of America. And you know what happens out there in Las Vegas every year when they have the national broadcasters, and then they also have a giant, great big porno show. And I had told everyone I was going out there to protest, and I went in undercover. I got myself a big black trench coat and a black hat, sunglasses, and a mustache, and wore shorts underneath it, and I blended right in. But you wouldn't believe the things that I saw, the debauchery and everything.
How long did you stay in there, J.C.?
Well, every day of it. Every day of it until I decided that, well, listen, I was there undercover, and I took a lot of pictures, and believe me, I got names, numbers, and I know exactly what's going on out there in Las Vegas. It's terrible.
Are you sure you went there just to do surveillance, J.C.?
Absolutely. A lesser man than myself might have been temptized, but I was not. Listen, I held firm in my faith of the Lord and the Lord's mission, which is to do reconnaissance against the enemy. I had to know, and I'll tell you what. I went out to find Art Bell in Pahrump.
You went looking for him?
Yes, I did. I took the mobile compound, and it was about 20 of us, And we went out, and after driving through what seemed to be endless miles of darkness, we were starving. I tell you, so we stopped at a place to get some chicken. And it was the chicken ranch, but they weren't serving chicken there. Well, I tell you what, when I went in, it was debauchery. We thought it was a good restaurant.
It was the wrong chicken ranch you went to, JC.
Yes, but we thought it was food. And I think someone hit me in the head because I woke up a few hours later and all my money was gone.
You order chicken legs there, JC, you get something else.
Yeah, probably the disease is killing me because I don't know what happened. I think the devil hit me in the head. And that is where Art Bell lives, where they have those kinds of things.
No, he lives far away from there.
Well, listen, I went looking for him, and I was standing out by the side of the road calling his name.
Well, I'm not sure he wanted to talk to you, JC.
I know he was hiding from me. But do you understand the kind of debauchery that happens in Nevada and in Las Vegas?
Well, I've heard some stories. I agree with you there.
Whatever you heard about me, what happened out there, it's not true. I stayed
for Well, I don't know. We've got pictures coming in about you out there, JC. Well, we had someone out there watching you.
Listen, they would have seen nothing. I can guarantee you nothing. Absolutely. And that is why I've been sick.
Are you dying?
Last week.
Don't die. We don't want anything to happen.
The only thing that's popping me up is the Lord's love, and he's got to keep me here till Judgment Day, and I tell you, it's got to be soon because I am very close.
Would you all like us to say a prayer for you?
Well, certainly I'd like a prayer. I'd like your submission to God's will, but it would be much better than that if you were to submit to God's will.
No, JC, I've been a spiritual man. You know that.
Well, it depends on what spirit you're worshiping. Jack Daniels does not count, sir.
Don't drink, JC.
Well, that's not what I heard.
No, I don't.
That's not what I hear when you're swearing your speech. You're drunk.
No, I've got a little tongue problem.
Oh, yes, sir.
I was born with a defect. You didn't know that, did you?
What is that, the inability to love the Lord and do the Lord's will?
No, JC.
Is that your criminal proclivity?
No, I had a tongue defect when I was a baby.
Oh, that's because you're speaking the devil's word. And to this day, you still speak the devil's word.
No, my tongue, you know, it comes out like a snake. It's got two little snakes.
Yes, I know. Forked. On one hand, it's the devil's word. On the other hand, it's the word of Satan.
Yes, it's a forked tongue. I was born with it. And I have three sixes on my head.
I know that.
You do?
I know that. You are marked by the devil's mouthpiece.
My last name, if you punch it on a phone, 666.
Oh, I can't believe it.
That's right.
You, sir, you're making me ill.
Goodbye.
I'm about to die here because of the horrible things you're doing to America.
Don't die, JC, but call us back next time. That's JC, who seems to be quite ill these days. And if you want to say a little prayer for JC, go ahead and do that. I did when I was little, by the way. I did have a little, what would you say? A situation with my tongue. It was kind of, it was like it's had pockets in it or something like that. It took a long time for me to speak well, so I'm doing it pretty well now, actually. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, George. This is Leanne calling from Alabama.
Leanne?
And I tried to get through on the last line, but
that's
it was
okay. That's all right. Tell us your last story.
Well, okay. Actually, this happened to my grandmother, and when she told me this, I laughed so hard I just almost paid myself. But anyway, well, you know, she had my mom and my uncle and my aunt, you know, back in the 50s. And, when she had my aunt, which was, you know, her last child in 1959, she got her tubes tied. Well, back then in the hospitals, you know, they had what they called wards. You know, you had like four women to a room. And the hospital rooms, you know, unlike today, they didn't have, you know, your own bathroom. You had like a community bathroom on the maternity ward or whichever hall you were in.
You just kind of wander down the hall to get to it.
Yeah. And then, back then they kept you in there for about a week when you had a baby. You know, it's not like today you have them and you're out the next day. Well, any, anyway, after, you know, she had my aunt, and they tied her tubes, and about 2 or 3 days later, she started getting this really, really bad gas building up in her stomach. She could not get rid of it. The doctor, you know, was giving her medicine, trying to help her, you know, relieve it and everything. Well, she said it was on a Saturday. It was maybe a day or two before she was going to be discharged. And she said to get to the bathroom, you had to walk out of her room and go all the way down the hall, and you had to pass like a little waiting room. And she said, being that it was on a Saturday, of course it was packed. And said she walked all the way down to the hall, said, you know, she just went in there, you know, just to pee or whatever. And said, well, she got in there and said, man, said she let one that was probably about 30 seconds long. She said it just echoed all through the hall. And she had to walk all the way back, you know, and everybody, of course, knew it was her. Had to walk all the way back to her room and said, you know, nobody said anything to her, you know. Well, so the next morning the doctor comes in and everything, and he says, well, Miss Wells, he said, I heard you got rid of your little gas problem.
You like this kind of humor, don't you?
Yes, actually I do. I have my family, we're very, we laugh. I mean,
at the strangest things.
I could tell you probably all kind of stories.
No, please don't.
Like that.
That one was enough. Thanks.
You're welcome.
All right. Next up, let us go to our laugh line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Well, I am Ryan, and I'm calling from Tacoma, Washington. I have been a very long time listener, first time caller.
Well, I'm glad you got through. So what was your gut wrencher?
My gut wrencher, this made me cry when I heard it. My uncle is a very serious man, very professional type person. He's also a doctor and was in the Navy for a little over 20 years.
All right.
He was giving physicals to the, I guess you would call them sailors, who would come into the doctor's office.
Sure.
And it came to the part where he had to use the rubber gloves.
Oh.
And he put he put his left hand on this young man's shoulder and started with the procedure. And about 3 seconds into it, the guy turned around, yanked his head around, looked at him. My uncle is sitting there thinking, what is going on? There's two other guys in the room sitting there busting up laughing.
It wasn't private?
No, this was almost 30 years ago.
Oh, my God.
And my uncle, being the strict professional person that he is, just rips into the two other guys, telling them, this is a very delicate procedure for a man. You should have more respect for this guy than this. This is completely inappropriate, just absolutely ripping into him. So they leave the office there, and one of the other sailors comes up to my uncle and says, you know, the reason why we were laughing, he turned around, is my buddy here put his hand on his other shoulder. So he was under the impression that my uncle had both hands on his shoulder and was doing this exam.
Oh, no. First time caller line, you're on the air with us.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I'm so excited I get to talk to you. I've been a member of StreamLink for years,
wow,
at least 7 years.
Thank you.
This is awesome. I'm Tanya from Kansas City.
Yeah.
We miss you. Come back to Missouri.
Oh, I'll be back in a few weeks.
Well, that's cool.
I just keep going back and forth. Go ahead.
I have a funny story. A few years ago, I had to have surgery, and where I had to go wait in the lineup for surgery, I was on the gurney and, of course, very nervous.
Yeah, of course.
And they gave me medication to calm down, and I don't know what they gave me, but it made me totally loopy. And so by the time it was my turn to go down the hallway, you know, be pushed down the hallway on the gurney and into the surgery room, I was out of it. I mean, I was just talking just insane, incoherent babble. So they wheeled me over to the surgery table, and told me to push off the gurney and onto the table. Well, they didn't lock the wheels. So I go smashing down.
A runaway gurney.
In between the surgery table and the gurney. I'm on the floor, and of course, all I have on is the hospital gown that wasn't tied in the back. So that flew up over my head. I pull it off, and all I see is all these people looking at me, you know, in shock. And that's the last thing I remember.
All right. Sometimes you just had to be there. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
George, it's Seth in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Seth.
Hey, I have a theory about ancient Tyre being part of Atlantis or being the Atlantis.
Oh, really?
I don't want to read out of the Bible, but if people that are interested would read Ezekiel 26 and 27 and then Isaiah 23, it talks about how people would crave after the city and then lament over it and not be able to find a trace about it. And then it talks about it being amidst the water. And, you know, there is no trace of it. And I know that, you know, the Phoenicians, they went on to establish Carthage and everything, but I don't think there's a trace of ancient Tyre.
So you think those passages kind of mention Atlantis?
Yeah. And then I had a second point I wanted to talk about. It's off this subject, but I'm the one that had the dream about you and Linda Howe, Linda Moulton Howe.
Are you the one that called in the art show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I heard you talking about it tonight, and, you know, you never know what can happen in a year. And what happened was I fell asleep, and I was dreaming along with your show, and I had a dream, and I don't know how she ended up in the dream, but you were away somewhere doing the radio show, and she was there, and you announced that you got engaged to her.
Nah, she's like my sister.
Well, you never know, George.
All right, you never know, but she's like my sister. We're going to take this break in just a moment. I just want to tell you a little bit of what we've got in store for you next week, by the way. Might as well tell you about that. John Miller is our guest on Monday's program. He's going to be talking about the Antichrist and its affiliations with extraterrestrials. Now, that's a strange, strange story. So I'm looking forward to that. Sir Charles Schulz joins us, talking about some alternative energy systems and special kinds of technologies. Wednesday, by the way, we're keeping that open for just a bit in case there's anything going on breaking that we might want to pop in. And Thursday, we're going to talk about Jim Morrison. Is he alive? Is he dead? And one of those who will be our special guest will be legendary Doors guitarist Robbie Krieger. So make sure you're listening to that part of Coast to Coast. Then Friday, I'll be in Austin, Texas for the program and also KLBJ's Talk Fest on Saturday. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we'll pick it up by going west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, yeah, this is Steve in Redmond.
Hey, Steve.
Thanks. Yeah, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to answer your question. A couple nights ago, you asked your guest about if Edgar Cayce spoke about the Book of Revelations.
Yeah.
And, of course, he was more into the cosmology stuff, and he didn't really know, but yeah, he did speak of the revelations. In fact, it was probably a safe bet to say that the Bible was probably his favorite subject, Cayce's. And so he did all kinds of readings on the Bible, and especially the whole book of Revelations. And what he said was that pretty amazing stuff. The first 10 chapters deal with spiritualizing the body, and the next 10 chapters deal with spiritualizing the mind. And then the last two chapters talk about the benefits, I guess you would say, of doing those things. And and all kinds of stuff, how it's not necessarily a story of what will go on out there in the world, but what every individual must experience within themselves personally. And he also said that we are all, the destiny of humans is to be realizing that they are one. And am I still on?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Yeah, great. Thanks. Yeah, that our destiny is to realize that we're one with each other and with God, and that it's our free will to choose how and when we come to that realization.
Well, he was one of the best.
Of biblical proportions, you know. His readings are still helping people. I know it's changed my life, and he could answer anything.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny when you said, am I still on? How many people, you get dropouts with these cell phones these days, and some people continue talking and talking and talking, not realizing that you are way off the line. You've been off the line for 10 minutes. They call you back and said, so what part did you hear? None of it. Let's go to our laugh line. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Make me laugh. What happened?
Hi, George. This is exciting. I'm a first-time caller, and I've been trying to get through all night, and I'm really excited, and I'm laughing to myself while I'm waiting. And this is something that happened several years ago in 1990. Actually, I can still laugh about it. I hope it isn't one of those you had to be there, you know what I mean?
We'll find out.
But, we'll find out. Well, we were doing a project at our church, and it was kind of a deal where we'd have a meeting every week or every 2 weeks, and we put out flyers, and we never know who was going to show up, and we kept hoping a lot more people would show up, but then there was, like, the main core of us, you know, the group. And one of the members of our group was a volunteer firefighter, and it just so happened that the night we were going to have the meeting, he was on call. But he said, the only way I can go, you know, go to the meeting is if you guys come to the fire station. We've got, like, a room there, you know, it's like a community room or something. And we said, well, okay, you know. And so my friend and I and her mother and an elderly aunt, there's two elderly women, and then her, and she was about my age, and younger women. And so we went there, and this firefighter had told us, you know, he said, just come to the side entrance. So we knew that, you know, where the fire station was, and we went to the side entrance, and we walk in, and we're, you know, chit-chatting and talking like women usually do, and there's this table just full of people. And, you know, I was kind of looking, because I didn't recognize one single person, and I kept thinking, this is unusual. You know, I didn't know anybody there, but I thought, wow, we got a lot of new people tonight. This is exciting. And it was like a long conference type table, and every chair was filled with, you know, someone.
Sure.
And so we're chit-chatting, and then, you know, kind of loud, and we come in, and these people, they just kind of look up at us. But, you know, we thought, oh, these are other people from the church or whatever. And so anyhow, my friend goes, well, I have to use the ladies' room. And so her aunt mother said, yeah, we do too, and I didn't. And so I said, well, I'll wait for you guys here, you know. And so I was just kind of standing by the door, and I was kind of looking around. There was no place for me to sit. Otherwise, I was going to go sit, you know, next to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just standing, and I'm waiting, and these people are just, they keep staring at me and looking at me, and I thought, well, gee, this is kind of strange, and then I thought, well, gee, there's not enough, you know, chairs, and there was some chairs piled up at one end of the room, and then there were some extra tables, so I'm a mother and a wife, and I'm used to taking charge. And so I thought, well, I got to get another table over here and some more chairs, because there's not going to be enough chairs for, you know, my friend and the other
right.
two ladies. So I am just looking around, and there was men and women sitting at the table, and they were just looking at me like I was from outer space or something, you know, appropriate for this show. And and I couldn't figure this out. Well, what had happened? And in the meantime, was this volunteer firefighter had evidently gone through another door or something, and found these. They had come out of the ladies' room, and he had found them, and brought them over to another part of the building, which I didn't know. And I'm standing there, and so I just took it upon myself. I just went over in the corner, and I started lugging this table over, and it was a really heavy table. And I turned around, and these people, they just kept looking at me, you know. And so I got a little angry, and I said, well, could one of you guys help me with this table? It's really heavy, and I'm starting to lug it. And they just kept looking at me, and finally they realized that I thought I was supposed to be there in that meeting. Well, it turned out that one of them said, oh, your meeting is in that room, and they pointed, and it was like a light bulb moment, and I looked at the whole room full of people, and I went, oh, and it was, and everybody started laughing, and I started laughing, and by the time I got to the other room, and I'm laughing, and I walk in, no one in the other room knew what had gone on. And so I kind of had to tame myself down because I was giggling, and they thought, what? And I tried telling people, but they didn't think it was so funny.
You're in the wrong room.
And I was in the wrong room. And then I did tell the firefighter, I was kind of mumbling something about it, and he said, oh, those are the big brass too, but the looks on their faces. But when they realized, you know, that I really thought I was supposed to be in that room, then I mean, it was just hilarious. Well, I had to subdue my, you know, laughter and everything pretty much the rest of the night. But when I got home, I was telling my husband and daughter about it, and I couldn't stop laughing. I was giggling, and I was laughing till like 2 a.m, and my daughter was in the other room, and she was in high school, and she said, Mom, be quiet. I have to get up for school. So to this day, whenever I get this little thing in my mind about the fire station story, my husband and daughter go, no, Mom, don't do the fire station story. I mean, it was just, I mean, it's almost like you had to see it.
Almost like you had to be there to believe it. Okay, we're into our final segment now, so let's go right back to the phones west of the Rockies. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, George.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good. Not bad.
I just want to say I'm a big fan of yours and everything, and I'm probably one of the younger callers. I'm only 18.
18?
Yes, I'm only 18. The reason I actually got into you is my mom. She always called me. She's a big fan of yours. She listens to you like every single night or whatever you're on.
You've got a great voice for an 18-year-old, let me tell you. You got a history in broadcasting coming up.
Oh, hey, I wouldn't mind. But anyway, I just wanted to say, yeah, my mom, big fan. She always called me. And then one night I'm just driving along, and I'm like, hey, you know, let me check it out. Let me check out the AM. And I finally found your station, flipping through. And my first radio station with you, or the first, you know, segment you had on, was with the Bad Astronomer.
Yes, Philip Plait.
Yeah, and that was actually, I really liked that. Ever since then, like, every night I get off of work at, like, 10 o'clock, bam, turn on, you know, Coast to Coast AM, listen to you. And I just want to say I'm a big fan of yours, and no really questions or anything, but just wanted to, you know, give you a little shout-out and just say,
Well, you thank
know.
You. Say hi to your mother for us all.
Hey, I will, George. Hey, you have a good one, man, and
okay.
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Isn't that neat? See, we start them young. 18, though, not that young. We've got 11-year-olds, 10-year-olds. We've got 75-year-olds, 90-year-olds who are all listening. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. Hi, George.
Yes, sir. Hi.
My name is Gordon. I'm a theoretical physicist. I work at a research facility. And something very mystical has been happening to me so far. There's this man. I'll describe him. He looks the same every day, and he's been stalking me. He's a middle-aged man in a blue-tinged suit, and he has very pale skin with dark hair, and he always carries a briefcase.
Hmm.
And whenever I see him, he always seems to adjust his tie and brush himself off, and I've never seen him up close. And the mystical thing about it is that whenever I see him, he's always in a place I can access, such as another room blocked off by a window, or down the hallway, or on the other side of a door, or walking across a catwalk. And when I try to get to his place, I say if I see him on down the long hallway,
right,
and run there, he's gone. And the weirdest thing was yesterday. I wanted to get access to this room, and I wanted to go the short way, so I tried to open this door. He was on the other side. I saw him through the window, and he locked the door on the other side, and I had to go the long way around, and he was gone. And the only way that he could have left was go my way or through the door, but the door was still locked from that side. Now, I and a colleague, a friend of mine who's in security named Barney, we call him the G-Man, and most of my other colleagues will not even, I think they must know of this man, but they do not mention him. I can see it in their eyes when I talk to them about it that there's some type of fear.
You think he's like a government worker?
Oh, I was thinking that's why we call him the G-Man. He looks like it. He has a suit.
No personality, right?
No personality. Well, he has a very blank face on him, and I mean, it seems he always has this tick of adjusting his tie brushing his coat off.
Are you working, your theoretical physicist, are you working on anything that you can tell us about that he would want to get information about?
Yes.
You are.
We're working on portal technology.
Now, tell me about that portal technology.
I'm afraid I cannot go.
This is the ability to travel?
Yes.
Through other worlds?
And we're in heavy competition with another company, but I can't really get into
that right now. How close are we to getting this done, you think?
I cannot say. I don't know. I just started a few months ago, and my level is basically assisting the senior scientist.
Well, have you jeopardized yourself by coming on this program tonight?
No, I have not.
All right.
I haven't said anything important.
Has this man threatened you or anything like that?
He has never spoken to me. I've never heard his voice. I've never seen him up. The closest I've ever seen him was the other side of that door. He's never really been in the same room as me, but he's always seems to be stalking me.
Top management has got to know he's there.
Yes.
Do you go through heavy security?
Yes, very heavy security.
So he gets in, right?
Yeah, when I started, I thought he was the administrator, but I met Mr. Breen, and he's certainly not him. He looks very, very different. He talks to me frequently.
And every day he's there, this guy?
Mostly every day. Not every day, but some days I see him more, some days I see him less. But I once was working on something at my desk, and I just got up, and he walked right by my door. I ran outside, and he was gone.
All right. Well, you keep us up to date on this as much as you can. Portal technology, the ability to travel to other worlds, just like the movie Contact. That's pretty fascinating. I think we can grab this wild card line really fast. Hi there.
Good morning, George.
Hey.
Hi,
welcome.
It's Greg calling you from Cape Cod.
Uh-huh.
I love your laugh line thing. Another awesome show.
Thank you.
You said you wanted to laugh. Are we allowed to make sound effects then or not?
Depends on what kind of sound effects we have here.
Well, I talked to Tom, and he said to use the word gas, so it's up to you.
Let's do it fast.
Okay. I was on a business trip in the early 80s with my friend. We were working for a national coffee company. We came back in from a long day's work. We were in a motel, and I guess the walls were paper thin. And when we walked in, we could hear a couple next door, enjoying themselves, I guess you'd say, because it was obvious that we could hear them. And my friend walked into the bathroom, and he passed gas. That's what Tom told me to say. And they actually stopped what they were doing. And you heard the guy go, "What was that?" And then my friend John said, "If you like that, you're really going to love this one."
Okay, all right, you got it. You got it. That's the way we end this one tonight. Hey, stick with us all weekend long. We've got Ian Punnett on Saturday, George Knapp on Sunday, and then I'll be back with you for the rest of the week. Send me an email or two if you like, george@coasttocoastam.com. And don't forget, beginning Sunday, those of you in the greater Texas area, keep looking at our website because we've got information for you on the KLBJ Talk Fest down in Austin, Texas, this coming weekend beyond the one we're going to have in the next day or two. Right, UFO Phil?
never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you've got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century, your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
For Karis Coburn, Wayne Roberts, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.